Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, pull up a chair. It's Hacks on Tap with David Axelrod and Mike Murphy.
She's done one debate. I've done two. It's too late to do another. I'd love to in many ways, but it's too late. The voting is cast. The voters are out there immediately. Is everybody voting? Please get out and vote.
Well, here we go, Mike Murphy.
Yeah, the electric words of a Trump retreat on debating.
Yes.
He's going five reverse gears. Although I predict, and I want to hear what our amazing guest has to say, who knows him well, but I predict 10 days from now, if he thinks he's losing, he'll be back in the time for debate business, because the losing candidate can't give up the opportunity to put the ball in the air. But let's ask our terrific guest, first time on Hacks, longtime listener, longtime friend. Who is it, David?
It's Alyssa Farah Griffin, my buddy, my panel buddy, buddy from CNN, a star of The View. Don't tell the other women I said that.
Yeah, you're a dead man now, Axelrod. That'll get
and
you.
Former communications director for President Donald Trump. So she has great insights into the man, the myth, the whatever.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I feel like I'm at the adults table now. This is so cool.
Boy,
well,
you got the wrong
like the
memo
Denny's.
Here.
Yeah, the 4 o'clock early bird here.
The veterans is what we'll say.
We haven't even got to the whoopee cushions and the pinwheel hats yet. So
my question is it going to rain on Axelrod? Because that's still my favorite night, is when you were just leaked on a CNN set for hours
that's
on end.
Why debates scare me. That was from the first debate. I had the second worst night that night, next to Joe Biden, because I had to sit. The CNN set was leaking, and only on my chair. So in between hits, they'd give me an umbrella.
It was a bad omen of things to come for the Democrats that night.
Yeah, we're going to talk, David. I've got some new agents I want to hook you up with. Here. No pneumonia. But, that shouldn't be in your rider.
Yeah.
But listen,
I want to get to this debate thing in a second. Well, let's do it now. So, Alyssa, what about it? I mean, what about Murphy's, every day's a new day for Donald Trump. Do you think his people are pretty insistent he's not going to do it? And rational people wouldn't want him to do it necessarily, given the last debate. What do you think?
So strong agree with Murphy. I predict there will be a second debate and Trump will show up. Listen, he's not somebody who, it's not in his DNA to walk away from a 70 million person audience. Right. He's going to see it if he feels like he's lagging or even if it's tight. He needs that big opportunity. I also think even though he's claiming he won, he knows he lost the last debate. So he's not going to want to leave the field having lost the only presidential debate to Kamala Harris. So I think he needs it. I think he'll show up. But by the way, I also think she needs it, even though she objectively crushed him in the last one. She needs to appeal to that 28% of voters who need to learn more about her and need to hear more about her. So I think they both need it. And I think it's going to happen and be a big night on CNN.
All right. Okay. Now you tipped your mitt, your You're promoting here. You're promoting the event.
I'm supposed to say now it's going to be on NBC, except I'm no longer contractually obligated. So it can be on the Weather Channel for all care.
Finally,
he
can tell the truth.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I just think if he thinks he's losing, he's not going to let that audience go and that opportunity to rock things. So it's possible, but they probably
his rationale is ridiculous because he debated on October 22nd last time. This is October 23rd. But honestly, if you were handling his race, would you trust him to go out on that debate?
If I were handling his
strategy next time,
I would be sitting at 4 a.m. at my desk with a bottle of whiskey and a revolver, wondering how the hell I wound up in hell. But I would be like, what the hell, we're losing. We might as well put the human grenade out there and hope for the best, because if we don't do anything, we're cooked. Now, if I'm in a really tight race with them, yeah, then I go to Ming Vaz, and I'm like, the downside is more than the up. On the other hand, I think right now, we're talking about all these crazy polls, but just kind of the spider sense that we old consultant, you know, fossils have, feels to me like she's
peaked a little. I thought that was rheumatism, but anyway, well, go ahead.
That too. I can feel the weather. But it feels to me like she peaked 4 days ago. Nothing's happening. She almost needs something big to happen. So I don't know.
Let's talk about that, because
settled.
I'm like ripshit about these polls because they're insane. New York Times has a poll yesterday. Everybody in the media business covers every poll like they're stone tablets, like they're absolute fact, and especially when they come in the sainted New York Times. But they polled, the last time they polled, which was before the first debate, they had her winning Arizona by 5 points. They poll this week, and they say he's winning Arizona by 5 points, a 10-point swing
after the
debate.
It's
like
Wonderland.
That can't be, and it's not consonant with anything else that I've seen, including private polls that I trust more because they do things more rigorously and invest
they have
more
a budget.
Money. Last week they said, well, she's even the race is even nationally, but Harris is winning Pennsylvania by 4 points. Those two things don't cohere.
Well,
right?
I'm loving this because every Republican consultant, and listen, knows this, for 40 years has spent a lot of time in a campaign banging their head against the wall. That damn New York Times, they just screwed us again on the front page. So I feel your pain. But my advice about these polls is the same as my advice about heroin speedballs. You don't really need to dive in and do it every day. You step back a little. And when you compare apples to oranges, different methodologies, people also, you get different outcomes. You also have the margin of error, which is forgotten in journalistic coverage of most polling, you know, a couple points on each number. So polls are a therapy animal people use to feel better about next week. Oh, thank God we're going to win. Oh my God, Trump's ahead. And the poll that I watched this week, and then I'll shut up and let Alyssa get in here, was the POS Garen Hart poll, the one done for NBC. And it's national, the states count more, but the internals in that of how they perceived the two of them had a lot of good news for her, a lot of good. She was the candidate of change by double digits, nearly 50%. She's closed the gap on running the economy. She's not there yet, but she's closed it to 8 or 9, depending on, they had two questions on it. On all the physically and mentally able to do it, she beat them by double digits. There were a lot of good leading hints there that I think may permeate through the race. On the other hand, it doesn't feel to me like she's out. It's hard to quantify, but I feel like she's flattened out a little. Anyway, what do you think, Alyssa? And then we'll go back to David, and we're going to dictate a letter to New York Times here together.
Well, the Times is not the only offender. Let me make it clear, because we get polls on the same day that say things that are completely different.
Yeah.
Completely different. She's winning the change thing. She's losing the change thing. It'll drive you nuts.
Well, let me just say quickly, I asked Dr. David Hill, the pollster who first brought the Rolling Stones to Alabama. So he has special credentials. I've worked with him in Republican politics a long time. He's a PhD. And he said, don't forget, in this modern era now, the landline is dead. We have to call 1,000 people to get a survey complete.
It costs money. That's why these news organizations, they are varying in their accuracy, because not all of them are as rigorous as they should be. Go ahead, Alyssa.
No, I agree this New York Times Siena poll feels like an outlier. I'm just not convinced. Most of the aggregate polling we've seen shows her having some positive movement in the Sun Belt. And to have something that's showing Ruben Gallego so significantly outperforming Carrie Lake in Arizona, but then her lagging, that doesn't really compute. The Carrie Lake opposition vote in Arizona, in some part, is moderates, independents, and even disillusioned Republicans who are voting for a change agent against the crazy, the election denialism. So I have a hard time with how big of a delta specifically there is in Arizona in this poll. But I mean, listen, it's a polar coaster. We're going to get this like absolute whiplash.
Right?
I was proud of that one.
That. Yeah.
It's really hard to measure a lot this race. To Murphy's point, people under the age of 40 don't even have landlines. So if you're not doing polls to cell phones, you're missing a huge voting swath. Beyond that, I'm kind of curious about folks who may not even, this is actually maybe positive for Trump, may not be registering in these polls, which are some of these young white men that he's been targeting. He's going on these podcasts, the Joe Rogan kind of vote of the world, who are low propensity voters, maybe not even voted in the past, that he's activating and trying to turn out. I'm really curious to see if those efforts are as strong as his campaign thinks they are. And those are folks that I don't likely think would be reflected in some of the traditional polling we're seeing.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but at the same time, I think you could say the same for first-time young voters who may be registering to vote for the first time for Kamala Harris that are likely not reflected in some of these polls.
Look, first of all, I do think some of it is registering. I mean, one of the things that seems fairly consistent is while she has closed the gap and in terms of African-American voters, she's doing far better than Biden was when he got out of the race. There's still some voters hanging out there, and they tend to be younger black men. And I think they are a big battleground in this state. But the polling that I trust, the polling that I see, the polling that, campaigns and super PACs and others are doing are fairly consistent. And in it, there aren't these huge lurches. This has been she's made a slow, steady ascent. She's ahead right now. She keeps making incremental progress. But these battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, they're really very, very close. They're basically tied.
Right.
She's making progress in these Sun Belt states, but that Trump still has a slight lead in those states.
Except for Nevada. That's the one where,
she has. So you saw a Nevada poll where she was ahead?
I've seen three now, private polls. Not a lot, ahead these days is at the end of the margin, but, I agree with you. There's a problem with media polls. I've carped about this forever. It's one of the few times where the media creates a story, our new poll, and then covers it.
Yeah.
And there's no rule book and, publishers, wait a minute, we can do the Blunderberg poll for $3,000 or the Pew for $100,000. We'll go with Blunderberg. We get the same headline. So I think it is a distortion effect. I tell people the Murphy poll is always right. You're 1 point behind.
Yeah. That's a good consultant posture, because that's the way campaigns should run.
Right.
The Times poll, by the way, I just want to say this. I think they are more rigorous than a lot of them. The other thing is, though, if a news organization is going to invest a lot of money in a poll, they're not going to look at it. Every poll, it doesn't matter who's polling, every poll can be a little funky. But if you invest a lot of money in a poll, news organizations aren't going to say, well, let's throw that one out. We're not going to report on that. And they probably get scolded if someone found out that they had. But one thing that I believe, and this is going to be a segue, so segue alert.
Yeah, I'm putting on my seatbelt. I saw that coming.
One thing that I believe is, I think that she did make advances with that debate that are more than trivial. And one of the reasons she did is not just because of the night or the coverage of the night, but because of social media. And the thing, one of the things that is living on after that debate is this, you know, stupid and, you know, in many ways reprehensible, but dogs and cats thing.
Yeah, no, I can tell you, you're a week late, but you're right. It's huge.
I'm not a week late because it's still reverberating out there.
I want to play MySpace, David.
I want to play
the song. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
People of Springfield, please don't eat my cats. Why would you do that? Eat something else. People of Springfield, please don't eat my dog. Here's a catalog of other things to eat.
They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there. They're eating the dogs.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
They're eating the cats.
Meow, 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 meow.
They're eating the pets of the people that live there.
So that thing has gotten, the last I looked, which was several days ago, it had gotten 8 million views. Okay. This kind of stuff is the, you know, this is how a lot of those low information younger voters that you're talking about.
Oh, totally. And he's getting killed.
Right.
He's getting absolutely killed.
You look on TikTok, there's so many versions of this. That one was the best, I've got to say. But it's become a viral sensation. And it is mocking him. Something, by the way, that he hates. Yeah. But I think if you're a younger person viewing that, who wants to be with the guy that's being mocked on TikTok for saying crazy things?
This was Biden's problem. I mean, for months and months and months, he was the butt of all of these social media memes. Now, this has turned on Trump. And beyond that, the campaigns, there's a big disparity. There was a piece this week about the disparity in social media spending, digital spending by the campaigns. I mean, this is a problem for Trump. He's on the receiving end of this now, and
you never want to be helping him. They have all of pop culture zeroed in on you. Ask Sarah Palin what that feels like, because you can get totally defined, especially among younger voters. And the genius of this stuff is if it hits that chord. Like the cat menu
literally
thing
in that
we
case,
just saw.
Yeah.
Literally that cord. Yeah. It grows for free. You don't have to spend anything. It's organic, which is powerful in a world of inauthentic politics. So yeah, I keep going back to a standard theory of this, which is all the pieces she has the advantage. You know, the things that more money. She's becoming a bit of a change candidate. If she can pull that off at a big enough level and hold off the economy, she'll win, et cetera, et cetera. He's still got one thing that's got very little to do with him, this big wall of lava of economic dissatisfaction, fire somebody. And she's the most fireable person because she's part of the incumbency. So that's the contest here. And Trump's just riding along.
Okay, then let's take a break right here and we'll be right back.
Hey, Hackaroos, got a question for you here. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing, the tragic thing is most of us have very little choice because ISPs, or internet service providers, as Axe would say, operate like monopolies in the regions which they serve. They then use all that monopoly power to take advantage of customers, data caps, bandwidth throttling, in other words, slowing things down. The list goes on and on. But worst of all, ISPs have the ability to keep a log of every website you visit. Yes, every website. And so can a ton of other third parties, unless you fight back and use ExpressVPN. VPN, by the way, means virtual private network. And remember the magic word private. I will explain. Without ExpressVPN, these third parties can still see every website you visit, even in incognito mode. The admins of your Wi-Fi network, your school, your boss, your parents, whoever it might be, they have access. ExpressVPN reroutes 100% of your traffic through secure encrypted servers, hence the clever name VPN, virtual private network, so third parties can't see your browsing history. That's your business, not theirs. They hide your IP address. That's what a VPN does, making it extremely difficult for third parties to track your online activity. Now, if you're up against the National Security Council or NSA, they might. But for most of us, it's everything we need. And best of all, it's easy to use. You fire up the app and you click only one button, and you, my friend, are protected. This tech works on all devices, phones, laptops, tablets, and more. So you can stay private on the go. I mean, I travel a lot. I'm recording this right now in a hotel in D.C., about to go to another hotel in New York. And with hotel Wi-Fi, you better believe I want a VPN. And the one I love, ExpressVPN. It's rated number one by top tech reviewers like CNET and The Verge. And so for me, it is a must-do on the road and just about everywhere else. So how can you do it? Real simple. All you got to do to protect your online privacy today is visit expressvpn.com/hacksontap. I'll spell it out for you. That's ExpressVPN, ExpressVPN.com/ one word, no spaces, hacks on tap. And you can get an extra 3 months free. ExpressVPN, VictorPaulNorman.com/hacksontap.
I agree with Murphy. You know, if you were running his campaign, and there are rational people running his campaign who have tried, who have been trying, you would be running on, she's a continuity candidate. You know, if you like high inflation, if you like, open board, whatever, you know, you're going to get more of the same. And they've tried to do that. I think we may have a spot that reflects that.
Their Bidenomics led to the highest inflation in 40 years, highest gas prices ever, skyrocketing interest rates, unaffordable housing, incomes down, unemployment rising, and a recession now headed our way. Yet Kamala Harris is clueless.
We are very proud of Bidenomics. Bidenomics is working.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
So, Alyssa, here's my question. That is the obvious strategy. People are unhappy with the direction of the country. You want to make her part of the prevailing thought. But every time he goes out there, he steps on his own story. They put stuff on the prompter, and he goes off on his own. You were in charge of trying to get him to stay on message once. What do you make of that? And can he become more disciplined? Can he actually deliver a message that hurts instead of doing stand-up and improvising everywhere?
So a few things. First and foremost, Donald Trump's not the candidate he was in 2016. He's not even the candidate he was in 2020. I was with him in 2020 when he often would go off message. We remember the first debate, the Proud Boys moment, but we also remember a second debate he showed up for and was largely on message. He was able to do rally speeches where he would, to some degree, stick to prompter. I notice a major decline in his discipline this cycle, even when, you know, we remember that Bedminster event where he literally had groceries around him to remind him to talk about inflation, the cost of groceries and goods, and he went every other direction. So, that's
Donald the cantaloupe.
Right. It's focus a legitimate challenge his campaign faces. And what's kind of remarkable to me is I actually don't think it's hard to run a smart campaign against Kamala Harris. But they took too long to get their footing. So they started with the she's ultra left. She's basically Bernie Sanders. She's Comrade Kamala, and kind of running her 2019 campaign playbook in her face, which legitimate, but a much stronger place to be, to your point, Axe, is she's simply a continuation of everything you didn't like about Joe Biden, and just tie her to every policy. And
well, are you better off?
Are you better off?
That's the thing.
They're at, they
he
have
got
ads
to it in the
89th
it. Minute of his debate.
Well, exactly. He has ads that do it, but he, the candidate, has a really hard time just sticking to that script and landing that message.
That's the tell, by the way.
How much of that, guys, is the pressure that, I mean, there's a lot at stake for Donald Trump here beyond the normal candidate. Because, you know, we forget in all the hubbub, he does have these cases hanging over him. He's been convicted in one. He could go to prison in some of these cases. How much is him just like in a little bit of a freak out?
Oh, a lot of it.
Yeah.
He's bananas to begin with. Now he's old and crazy or older, and he's feeling all this pressure. He's insecure, so he needs constant positive reinforcement, and he's not getting it because he, for all his bluster, he turns on the TV and sees these crazy polls. You're winning, you're losing, you're losing, you're winning. So, yeah, he's totally cracking up. It is a huge tell that the one thing in this campaign, Trump campaign, that has a fairly coherent message is the paid advertising. And that's the one thing Trump doesn't have anything to do with.
Yeah.
Well, and I do think, by the way, that's kind of a lost theme in major part of this election, is that Donald Trump, in some part, is running to stay out of jail. So it's simply a fact. I was talking to CNN's Ellie Honig about this, but if he loses by, you know, probably early 2026, he's going to be standing trial, whether in documents, whether in January 6th. This is a real thing that he is facing. He doesn't talk about it. I don't feel like the media contextualizes that enough, but I think being 78 years old, running for the third time, and having that on the other side of a loss is driving him a little crazier than usual.
To that point, here's an ad. I think it just went up from a super PAC, from that Future Forward super PAC.
And we should say Future Forward is the main authorized pro-Harris super PAC. So this is their partner super PAC.
I had a summer job at McDonald's.
He was born there.
I'm very rich.
She fights for you.
When our middle class is strong, America is strong.
He doesn't.
Well, you're rich as hell. I'm going to give you back, sir.
She has a reason for running.
We are helping dig families out of debt by telling billionaires to pay their fair share.
And so does he.
They want to put me in jail.
Kamala Harris, for you. FFPAC is responsible for the content of this ad.
They kind of picked up on your theme there, Alyssa, trying to remind people.
I didn't think she was going to go there in the debate, bringing up any of his criminal convictions. Hillary Clinton had written that piece kind of encouraging her to trigger him and to try to goad him into fight mode. And I at the time was like, no, do no harm and just talk about what you're for. But she actually expertly was able to just remind folks, this is somebody who's been convicted felon, and all the other things that we know about him. It's effective for her.
Can I just jump in? Because Future Forward is very data-driven, and they're going to say that ad tested off the chart, and it may have, but I'm going to be a contrarian. I hate that spot because I think all the subtext of it is wrong. I don't like her bragging about working at McDonald's like she was at Anzio Beach. It is a very normal thing to work at McDonald's. It is a good thing. And I the fact that it's the old Lamar Alexander line, like a Boy Scout wanting a merit badge for telling the truth. I just think it pushes it a little bit. I don't know. I think the selling psychology of that thing is all kind of wrong. And yeah, snicker, snicker, there he is, a old white guy in a golf cart. And there are a lot of old white guys in golf carts, and she could use a few of them on election day. So I just, the ad creative in me, I bump on that ad. Now, I know the research is probably great, and the Hillary analytics say it can't lose and everything. I don't know. I'm curious what you think, Ax, because you've made a lot of ads. Is that thing on the subtext and sales psychology thing, does that spot work for you?
Look, the McDonald's thing, I think, has been overdone by her. But you say, well, you know, that's a normal thing. I think part of the message is that is a normal thing, that he's not like you and that she identifies with sort of everyday people, and that she's going to fight for everyday people and that he's fighting for himself. So, you know, I can see why it might.
I just don't like the execution
of it. It's a super PAC ad. So, yeah. You know, they have a little more license and latitude to do what they do. But let's talk a little bit about her, because she did an interview, sort of a friendly interview with Oprah. And the big headline out of that interview was this clip here.
I'm a gun owner. Tim Walz is a gun.
I did not know that.
If somebody breaks in my house, they're getting shot.
Yes, yes. I hear that. I hear that.
Probably should not have said that. But my staff will deal with that later. Yeah.
So, Alyssa, what was your reaction to that?
Listen, she should have just let it hang there. Not that I need to clean it up, because I actually thought it was a great moment, more so in the debate. It's the second time she's telling us she's a gun owner, but it's the Castle Doctrine. Most Americans believe if somebody breaks into your house, you do have a right to protect and defend yourself. I think if she's trying to make this, you know, it's very much a Pennsylvania play where the, you know, Second Amendment is a major issue. I think it softens her on it. It makes her seem like she's quote unquote one of us. A perfectly fine moment. I don't know that it massively moves the needle, but I do think the revelation that she's a gun owner is a very positive thing for her, because it goes back against this idea of her as an ultra liberal who wants to round up and take away your guns.
I like the idea of a candidate packing chrome in case the hombres show up. Now, you know,
I love when you talk like that.
They live in Bel Air and they're millionaires. So I think, you know, they have to get through a wall of private security before they get to the Secret Service, But it was authentic. Anything authentic is good. I agree. Capping it where all of a sudden she's calculating about her politics was unfortunate. But in the moment, I think it did her no harm. That said, again, we're playing a lot of fantasy football here, but
that's what we do.
Yeah, I know. It's our stock and trade.
Exactly.
I think she stalled a little. So having that be the big bite out of an Oprah thing, rather than let me tell you about somebody who came up to me on the campaign trails working two jobs and could lose their house next month. Oh, we haven't done. That's the bite I would want, because she's not scoring the way I would hope she would be.
Even off the debate, look, I thought the debate was a masterclass. She took him apart. I mean, you know, I think I've said it here before, but she was Pavlov and he was the dog. But there is a gap that has to be filled. She is utterly passionate, persuasive, convincing on the issue of abortion rights. And you can feel that when she speaks. She's still looking for the authentic voice on the economic issues. And those economic issues are not just number one in polling, but they're number one with these sort of disengaged voters and, you know, more young than old, who are going to decide this election. So yeah,
that and change are the keys to the kingdom. Yeah. So they got to put the whole franchise behind it, and they got to get good at it. The other thing, there was a Politico article I thought was pretty smart a few days ago. She's got to get into meat and potato job stuff, metal bending, all that. Not, you know, it was kind of worried that a little bit of the Biden, you know, monkey wrench job thing would help her. And I couldn't agree more with that. And I hear that coming out of states where I've done governor races in the industrial Midwest. But let me try a pivot here. We All have right. a new feature on Hacks on Tap, the Nazi Porn Freak Corner, because we have a Nazi porn freak.
Yes, we've had our shocking. Writers have been working on this for months. Yeah.
If we had another day, we would have had a Nazi porn freak jingle, but unfortunately, we couldn't get it together. But let's hear ad number two, which I think is tactically to try to gum up Trump for another 2 days, a pretty smart ad.
Ran in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he's been an unbelievable Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson.
For me, there's no compromise on abortion.
I think you're better than Martin Luther King.
We could pass a bill say you can't have an abortion in North Carolina for any reason.
Abortion in this country is about killing a child because you aren't responsible enough to keep your skirt down.
I've been with him a lot. I've gotten to know him, and he's outstanding.
Donald Trump and Mark Robinson, they're both wrong for North Carolina.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
I'm not sure the carom shot will work in Carolina, but I think that gums up Trump in other states because he's got it like, and he hasn't done it. He's kind of half avoiding the guy. But anyway, so I thought tactically good. What do you think, X?
I think that they wanted to go on quickly on Robinson while the iron was hot. And they probably had this in the can. But the other element of it is that they are making a major push on abortion rights in media this week, and you know, on all different channels. She went down to Georgia to talk about those poor women who could not get treatment and who died, and so I think that it is in step with the message that they're trying to deliver. I think everybody in North Carolina probably has heard about the fact that Robinson, you know, CNN reported that Robinson was on this weird, what's it called? Nude Africa.
Yeah, Nude Africa.
Yeah, unlike Nude Ireland, where all we do is look at pictures of Jameson bombs.
I don't
want to
hear about
the label.
You do what you want in your private time. I don't want to hear about it, Murphy.
Yeah, I won't even get into Nude Chicago, Pat.
No, so I think this
ad. I'm not going to tell you about what's going on there. Go ahead.
Not to interrupt this, but listen, it's just a different play an angle to the whole discussion Kamala Harris is trying to push around reproductive health. So one way to do it is we've seen a lot of this talking about victims, people who wanted to have children, their future fertility was jeopardized, or they lost a child, or even this case in Georgia where the woman herself died. That's one where you kind of pull the heartstrings. Something that I actually find incredibly effective, I think, with moderate and swing female voters is what you saw in that ad, which is a Republican man demonizing women who have unexpected pregnancies. So that line about keeping your skirt down, that makes women's skin crawl. It's a radioactive thing to hear. And what I think she's doing here is there's not a lot of evidence of reverse coattails where Mark Robinson's going to drag down Donald Trump at the top of the ticket. But I think she's hoping that there might be a little bit of that, that if there's somebody so toxic, so radioactive on the ballot there, that people might be like, you know, maybe I'm just going to vote Dem across the board.
Yeah, no, I think it's more about Michigan and Pennsylvania than North Carolina. He's dead in North Carolina. He's been dead for months. Mm-hmm. But Trump being linked to this guy who for the next 100 hours is number one creep, it's good on a wider basis.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about Robinson being dead for months, not Trump.
Yeah. No.
But,
Trump,
you know, the thing about the ad that's effective is not just Robinson's unbelievably ugly comments, but the fact that Trump is lionizing him.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, it does raise questions about Trump. And look, I think Republicans down there they've done everything but, you know, get a jaws of life to try and remove him from this campaign.
Yeah.
You know, his staff has quit. You know, they're hectoring him. They're asking for proof that this wasn't him, as he says. And I think that the Trump campaign, Trump will not walk away from him.
Right, because Trump refuses to ever retreat, which is one of his weaknesses. So you can pull him into to the old battle and grind him up. So if this is another, remember, what are we, 48 days out, and if you get into early voting, because Election Day is now 10 days long, we're in the 30s. Every day Trump's gummed up, half defending a Nazi porn freak is a good day. And, you know, Trump, it makes it worse.
What, by the way, we've never really tested. So 2020 midterms, the polls were largely off. Election deniers largely went down. Some of the more fringe candidates did. We haven't seen where a race where there's fringe candidates and Donald Trump on the ticket, how the voting actually plays out. Because I think if the Carrie Lakes of the world losing, Mark Robinson obviously will lose. And I wonder where this sort of intellectual connection is with voters of, I can't be with Mark Robinson because he's a nut and he said X, Y, and Z. But, oh, he was handpicked by Donald Trump and blessed by Donald Trump. There may be something to this. I would also be adding to that message if I were the Harris campaign. He's a person who lacks judgment and surrounds himself by the worst people, not the best people. I think that might be something that resonates.
Yeah, I think that's, I think that's sort of implicit in that ad.
Let's stop for a minute and listen to a word from one of our fine sponsors.
Folks, our next sponsor has truly made a positive impact on the most important people in my life. And no, I'm not talking about Mike Murphy. I'm talking about my cats, Twizzler and Augie. Twizzler and Augie are very particular eaters, and they know good food when they taste it. So that's why you got to try Smalls, because they've actually taste tested this cat food. It's time to make kibble a thing of the past. Smalls Cat Food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free ingredients you find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. That's why veterinarians.org rates Smalls 10 out of 10 for ingredient quality. I feel better knowing I'm feeding my cats real food, not burnt kibble. I can finally open a packet of cat food and not get nauseous. I actually recognize the ingredients in a packet of Smalls food. At this point, you may be wondering why I can't just feed my cat kibble. Believe it or not, your cute little kitty descended from ferocious desert cats who hunted live prey for food. And your cat isn't any different. They still need fresh protein-packed meals to be at their best. Other cat food brands know this, but they choose to put their wallets first. They fill their foods with mysterious meat byproducts, artificial flavoring, and preservatives with names I don't even want to try to pronounce. If that sounds gross, imagine having to eat it every day. After making the switch to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. That's a big deal. The team at Smalls is so confident that your cat will love their product that you can try it risk-free. That means they will refund you if your cat won't eat their food. Now's the time to make the switch to Smalls. Head to smalls.com/hacks and use promo code HACKS at checkout for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our code HACKS for 50% off your first order. And one last time, that's promo code HACKS for 50% off your first order, plus free shipping. So this thing could come down to one electoral vote.
There's been this
interesting situation in Nebraska, one of two states that has a district by district election of electors instead of winner take all by state, Maine being the other one. And so Lindsey Graham jumps on a plane and flies out to Nebraska to try and push the legislators out there to change the law. And it all settled on this one guy.
One state senator.
In Omaha. One state senator. They only have state senators there. It's a bicameral
house. Yep, exactly. They're weird in a lot of ways.
But this guy is a Democrat turned Republican. Democrats, I think, unwisely drove him out of the party. But he wants to run for mayor of Omaha. And so voting for this means Omaha loses its power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this thing is beautiful. So the ours for a while have had a secret plot. Wait a minute. Why do we let Omaha? It's a weird second district. It's a 50-50 district currently held by a Republican. But it's got there's an Air Force base, there's a rural Republican county, and there's Omaha, which leans blue. So this thing has one electoral vote where, again, as you said, they cast by congressional district, not winner take all. So the ours have been trying to rig this, which would essentially, if they normied it like the rest of the country, they pick up an electoral college vote. It would instantly go Republican. And this one guy, and you can be cynical and say, well, he's running in Democratic Omaha for mayor, or he's just crusty, has said no. We got Jeff Smith there is saying no. And guess what? Looks like it's a done deal. It's going to stay the way it is. Nice try, Lindsey.
The other side of it is, listen, if they had wanted to make this change, put it on the ballot or have the state legislature look at it 6 months to a year ago, I wouldn't really have any problem with it. If the voters of Nebraska are like, sure, make it winner take all. It's just the cynicism of doing it 48 days out from an election when we know that right now it looks like things are razor thin. And by the way, it kind of reminds me, as much as Donald Trump screams about how everything around him is rigged, he's a big fan of rigging the system in his favor. I think of the Republican primary, how many of the early contests his RNC changed to make winner take all.
Totally.
So when Nikki Haley couldn't challenge him in a real way.
So Trump actually was on Truth Social sort of rolling up the flag here and complaining about this one. He said a state senator named Mike McDonald decided for no reason whatsoever to get in the way of a great Republican common sense victory. Just another grandstander. Yeah, because Trump really abhors grandstanders. Who knows, perhaps one of the others, the other two Republicans, who knows, perhaps one of the other two Republicans that were a no vote will change their minds. So he's still holding out a little hope. But he says, basically, it looks like, he says, I love Omaha and we won it in 2016. Looks like I'll have to do it again. So it's, he's sort of semi rolled up the flag while still holding out hope that. And the reason this is important is because if Kamala Harris wins Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, she still needs one electoral vote or the election is tied and it goes to the House of Representatives, right, where the way they do it is by delegation, not by member, and Republicans have an advantage there. So Trump could win a tied election.
The hell scenario.
I'm minding my own business and somebody will come up and say,
about time,
you know, hey, you're that jerk from television or on that radio thing with that Axelrod guy. you know, I'm a Democrat and I'm terrified of Trump, blah, blah, blah. And I say, move to Omaha, leave me alone. Because 3,000 people moved to Omaha and then Harris fixes Pennsylvania, which is trouble. Mm-hmm. Boom, there it is, done.
Looks like the Middle East is headed to a very bad place.
Already there.
And if there's a full-out war, and I think that'll be a big story this week because the UN General Assembly meetings are in New York. Most of the world leaders are there. Biden is speaking today. On The View tomorrow, by the way, we should, if you want to preview or check out any of your questions with us, Alyssa, we can help you hone them right here. Right, we as a group can decide what you should be.
We are much at home in the vast canvas of world affairs here.
Apparently, yeah.
Kissinger listens. Hey, Henry.
From wherever he is, may his memory be a blessing. So the Middle East is erupting. And the question is, does that have a material effect on the campaign? Does it lend some credence to, you know, Trump's argument that the world's out of control and somehow I can bring, I mean, he seems, he's an odd peacemaker to me, but what does it do to, because I think this race could end up turning on some unexpected thing, extraneous thing that none of us can fully predict.
I think the doomsday scenario for Kamala Harris is the conflict in the Middle East exploding in a more significant way. She's managed to really separate herself from the frustration with Biden over Gaza, over the war between Israel and Hamas, and really distanced herself. We were at the DNC, all of us were, and you really couldn't find the protesters. It wasn't this sort of 1968 level demonstration. I think we would have seen if it was still Biden on the ticket. I think there's something with younger voters where they don't see her as directly responsible, and she's navigated it, I think, a lot more elegantly than Biden has. But that's something that could make a real difference. And I've talked to a lot of folks who don't generally trust Donald Trump on some aspects of national security and foreign policy, but they weirdly do on the Middle East. They think that he read Iran right and that he called their bluff and knew these are not people you can negotiate with and work with. They see that there's been, you know, over 100 attacks on U.S. positions in the Middle East since October 7th. And Donald Trump says that didn't happen under me. We had Iranian proxies at bay. So this is actually an area where I think he could persuade people he's the better force there, despite everything we know about him, the chaos that generally surrounds him. But yeah, listen, the best thing for Kamala Harris, she got a rate cut. She got Taylor Swift. If a ceasefire deal materializes, she's golden. I think one of the worst case scenarios is this becomes a more significant conflict.
I think it's a coin flip, because if it really heats up, Trump will run as the hammer. And he'll overplay his hand. And will people want that kind of strength? And I'm going to call the Ayatollah and say one word in Farsi, nuclear, call this off. You know, are they going to want that? Or is that going to scare them because it's Trump? On the other hand, her foreign policy resume is light as a feather. So it's hard for her to be the candidate of real stature there. On the other hand, on policy, she's gotten to his right on foreign policy. Most of the establishment in both parties, by the way, is much more confident that her team would be able to handle this better than Trump trying to find Israel on a map. So, you know, it could flip either way. Do you want the brainy pros around her, or do you want Trump, you know, threatening all kinds of stuff? Do you want the angry hammer, or do you want the cerebral way out? And that's kind of a fair fight, and I'm not sure how it'll go.
So Donald Trump went and spoke to a group of Jewish Republicans in Vegas, I guess. And this is what he said.
Any Jewish person that votes for her, especially now, her or the Democrat Party, should have their head examined. If I don't win this election, and I've been very good, you know, they say Trump's been right about everything. In my opinion, the Jewish people would have a lot to do with a loss.
So now let me respond as a member of the tribe. I can't imagine that's a persuasive argument with the Jewish community that you owe me, and if you don't deliver, you could be responsible for me losing, and I'll hold you responsible. You know, there's like thousands of years of history where people blame bad things on Jews. And so I don't think that landed very well with American Jews who have a whole range of values and reasons for voting the way they do. And it's the reason that they vote in large numbers, you know, and have and continue to against Donald Trump. And somehow he thinks that they owe him.
I think a guy of German heritage barking orders at the Jewish community is not a slick move. The Republicans have made inroads. They've done it with policy. But it's equally bad. He's going after my people, too. We're together on this act.
The Catholics.
He's going after the Catholics. And let me just say, the oldest of all the Murphy Callahans, I'm the second oldest, is Archbishop Charles Brown, former chief of staff to the Pope. So phone lines are burning up here. There might have to be a holy response. But seriously, I do have a
political
question.
I didn't know you were so connected.
Oh, no, Charlie would come down to D.C. When I lived there, and we'd go have lunch at the Palm, and he'd walk in, and he'd be in the clerical garb, and all my political friends would say, "Too late, Murphy! Way too late for you."
Yes.
But anyway,
your meetings probably take place in a booth where you can completely unburden yourself.
He's an incredibly impressive guy who's given a very virtuous life. He's currently the nuncio in the Philippines. But anyway, and he's a political junkie and loves American politics. But let me pivot to the L. Smith dinner, which is the historic kind of Catholic, old school, a lot of white dudes and all that. In New York charitable dinner, which is kind of a gentle roast often between presidential candidates. Trump will be there. The holy water will go to a boil when he walks in, but hopefully simmer down. And Kamala Harris is not going. Now, on one hand, I can get the argument. Why do we want to be chained to Trump at some clown show? On the other hand, longtime listeners and Hacks fans, great comedians and writers, Patton Oswalt and Dana Gold, both told me, you know, everybody with a funny bone in Hollywood would happily volunteer material for her. Why not go? And I think it could be another big debate moment for her to kill. But they passed, and I get it's a tricky call. What would you have told them, Axe and you, Alyssa? What's your call on that?
Well, I always sort of lean into the aggressive.
Yeah,
you know, I think you can view things as minefields, or you can view them as opportunities. I don't know whether because of the whole battle over abortion rights, she doesn't feel comfortable doing it or whatever. But, you know, my thing is every minefield also is an opportunity.
And a minefield for the other idiot.
Right. If you do it right. If you do it right.
Can I mention one thing on this? Donald Trump has an incredibly narrow view of how he views policy and issues. So on that comment about, you know, blaming the Jews if he loses, he, in his mind, I moved the embassy to Jerusalem, therefore all American Jews should love me, even though there's completely conflicting opinions among American Jews on the issue. Yeah. But same with Catholics. So he's thinking, I rolled back Roe v. Wade, they must love me. Catholics are also very pro-refugees, pro-immigrant, pro-helping your neighbor, and really resist his policies on this area. Exactly. But I actually think there's some landmines for him at it. But agree, she should have gone. It could be a big roast moment for her.
And a Trump comedy routine? It'll be two drunk Irish priests and a rabbi. Well, I mean, God knows what he's capable of doing. And she could soar above. I think definite missed opportunity. And she could use another big moment.
Yeah, the question is, can he do stand-up without playing it blue? I don't know.
Okay, then let's take a break right here, and we'll be right back.
Okay, fellas, when we leave the house, it's phone, wallet, keys, and lastly, a furtive glance, how's my hair look? But if you, like me, like the whole Hacks on Tap team, to be honest, are experiencing hair loss, you may not really be so confident when you step outside your door. Well, it's time to get that confidence back and restore your hair with Hims. Hims provides access to a range of hair loss treatments that work all from the comfort of your couch. That's where I do all my best work. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted treatment options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. They offer personalized, chewable, oral spray, and serum treatment options so you can find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online. Just answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to your door. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, so if you feel like you're losing a part of yourself with your hair loss, get Hims and get your confidence back. Now, here's the offer. This will make your hair stand up straight, and soon you're going to have more of it. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/hacks. That's Hims, H like Harry, I like India, M like Mango, S, Hims.com/hacks for your personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/hacks. Results vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Before we get to the mail, I have one other issue, and this is beginning to really, really concern me. We are going to be in the same position on election night that we were last time, which is to say the mail-in votes are going to be more from Democrats than Republicans, because even though Trump's trying to retreat on that, he has so demonized mail-in voting that I think there is habitual in-precinct voting by Republicans, a reversal of past history. And so the first votes that are counted on election night are by and large going to be, other than in a few states, the votes that were cast that day.
Yeah,
and we're going to have the same effect that we had last time, which is in the early evening, Trump will look like he's leading, and he will probably leap out there at some point and claim victory. And then the mail-in ballots will get counted. In Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, they still aren't allowed to count them until Election Day. So it'll be several days in some of these states. And I don't think I think the media needs to do a better job of really alerting people to the fact that this is going to happen this way. This is normal. It is the way these elections run. There's no evidence at all that there's anything wrong with it, but be prepared. This is how election night's going to run.
I keep saying, I've said it for years, election day is now 10 days long, and they need to cover it that way. Well, we're going to have the election day vote coming in here. We're going to have the mail-in vote from a week ago coming in here. One tilts more red, one tilts more blue, and get people thinking about you're going to have to wait for the full picture. It is natural and how it ought to be, not some perversion or some fraud.
And yeah, Liz and I are going to bring, sleeping bags and rations to election coverage, election night coverage, on the theory that we'll be there for many days.
Well, and I do think we should be setting that expectation. The media should. There's virtually no chance it's going to be called election night, because add in the Georgia hand ballot counting. So two of the most critical swing states that will determine the election are going to drag on for days, most likely. And I just think people need to know that.
They're going to be covering exit polls. More polls to drive you insane. All right, let's hit the orchestra. It's listener mailbag. All right, if you have a mailbag question, email it to us at hacksontap@gmail.com. Hacksontap@gmail.com. You can also do a voice memo and email us at, use your name, keep it short. Or you can call our secret Chicago phone line. You can register to vote whether you want to or not. You can place a bet and you can leave us a question. The number is
773 389 773-389-4471. I'll repeat it because who can remember that? 773-389-4471.
We've upped our game, by the way. We now, for you YouTube watchers, you notice that we don't only have a number you can't remember, we have a font you can't read. See, we're modernizing. Hey, guys, I got a train to catch. So the mailbag is in your able hands. Alyssa, thank you for coming on. And Axe, I'll see you soon.
All right,
safe
brother.
Travels, Murph.
All right, now, welcome to the mailbag, Alyssa.
This is so exciting.
This is a very, very favored feature of where our listeners get their say. Let me start with DJ, who left us a voicemail. We always like to hear from people, not just read their questions, but hear from them. And DJ has this question for you.
Hi, it's DJ from Minneapolis. I'm wondering if you think that COVID migration from blue states into Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, or even Texas could change the polling or voting realities in those states. Thanks a lot.
Has there been COVID migration to Pennsylvania and Wisconsin? I'm not sure.
So it's a great question. I mean, definitely Texas and Arizona. There's a pretty significant amount of data. I don't candidly know as much within the blue wall states. My guess would have been somewhat measured in the midterms. If there was a significant amount of migration there, it would have been reflected in the votes that we saw there. But I think there are some demo shifts that we don't totally have our arms around. I'm still fascinated by the fact that Wisconsin, getting back to the polling hell that we're in, but Wisconsin actually looks incredibly tight for Kamala Harris. She's got about a 1-point lead right now. And to me, that speaks more to, I think, the demographic makeup of the state. It's a predominantly white state. I think it's somewhere where she would be very wise to just deploy Tim Walz, park him there, have him out campaigning, doing the I'm the dad who, you know, fixes the engine and I'm a normal guy, self-made like you. That's an excellent place to use him. Arizona is a much more mixed bag, but I think it's worth considering this migration. I do think it would have been reflected, though, in 2022.
I do think there's been some migration from north to south. I don't think it's been from south to north. So I do think that that's a factor in these elections in North Carolina, in Georgia, perhaps in Arizona, although there's some migration from California, Arizona as well. We'll see about that. In terms of Wisconsin, one of the hidden factors here, there is a real difference between organizational levels in Wisconsin and in all of these blue wall states. You've got Democratic governors, and in Wisconsin in particular, their state Democratic Party is well funded. It's incredibly organized. They've had a lot of in-state elections that were pitched battles in which they've honed their organization. I think the organization could make a real difference for her in Wisconsin.
The uncommitted vote also could, who they kind of declined to endorse, but it was a tacit nod to we're not for Trump, so therefore you can be for Kamala Harris. I do worry if the Middle East gets more complex, though, that could move.
Let's hear what Carrie has to say.
Hi, Hacks. This is Carrie from Arizona. I have a question about a proposition that's on our ballot this time. It's for open primaries. And I want your opinion on whether you think open primaries will actually help give us better candidates for the general election. Thank you.
This is a really interesting one. And I don't know what state she's in. She didn't say. But we should say open primaries are where you run without party label. And the idea is that it might moderate the finals. You could have two Republicans or two Democrats, one more or less from the polls of each party in the race. What do you think, Alyssa?
Andrew Yang's got a good book on like the dream scenario reforms we could make to our system to better our politics. Most of them are not even at all realistic in the current environment and with the party dynamics and power structures. And this is something he advocates for. It'd certainly be a good thing. I don't see it in terms of moderating candidates and putting a better quality candidates, I think. I don't see it happening. I do like ranked choice voting. And I think of, you know, they have it in Alaska, for example. That's something where I think I think it's more likely we would see that adopted more broadly than just fully open primaries.
Obviously, the parties aren't crazy about it. In Nevada, ranked choice voting passed once. It has to pass twice in order to become law. It's on the ballot again in this election. Yeah, I think that is probably a more focused way of getting to what they're pointing out. As you say, in Alaska, that's why they have the Senator Murkowski and the Congresswoman they have there, who's a moderate Democrat, because of this system. All right, here's the last question, and this is Honor Murphy, who's not here. Liz Cheney mentioned, this is from Alicia, Liz Cheney mentioned starting a new political party. Do you think this is likely, and do you think it's a good idea? Alyssa Farah Griffin, lifelong Republican.
Well, I'm also bummed to not get Murphy's very cynical take on this. Listen, there's very little I disagree with Liz Cheney on. This is an open question to me. Do I think the current Republican Party is ever going to course correct and go back more to a mainstream Romney McCain national party that could even, you know, in a decade make an effort at winning the popular vote? I think the answer is likely no. I think MAGAism is built in not just with the voters and supporters, but also institutionally with the infrastructure. You've got Laura Trump running the RNC. So there's definitely a discussion of do those who feel disillusioned and exiled from this party create something new? But to be honest, it's totally aspirational. We saw No Labels try to, you know, recruit a candidate and they couldn't. It takes it would take at least a decade to stand up something that would be formidable and not just be more of a minority party that actually ends up boosting, likely the party it's trying to challenge, meaning the existing GOP. So, The long-winded way of saying, I'd love to see something rebuilt from the ground up, but I think that would be a 10-year effort. And that's why I think the real battlefield is in the existing GOP. If Trump loses, having real conversations about candidate quality, our values, broadening the tent, and where we are on issues. I mean, the 2012 platform for the Republican Party was a national platform. The direction it's going with Project 46 is just not a national party platform.
You mean Project 2025?
Well, Trump's official is Agenda 46, but Project 2025, you're not going to get 30% of the country on Project 2025.
I see. I didn't even know that they refer to it as Project 46.
He's got his own little thing out there. It's really just lines of platitudes. It's not long reading if you want to check it out.
I see. Okay. Well, one thing we know is that we have quality hacks on this show, and you are right at the top of the list. Alyssa Farah Griffin, I so enjoy spending evenings with you on CNN, and I look forward to doing that a lot in the next
I look forward to spending election week with you. We'll bring our sleeping bags.
Yes. We can have toasted marshmallows and
campfire
and camp out there.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be on.
Thanks.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.